All right. God bless you guys. We are starting a new series right now, Putting Our Lives in Order. The title of the series is called Disorderly Conduct. You and I live in a world where people are always searching to better their lives. How many have ever done anything to better your life? How many still look at all kinds of things to better your life? You know, we all live by priorities, and you have a priority structure. You may not have it consciously, but you and I each have a priority structure in which we live by. And another word for priority is values. We have values. And your highest valued things in life will take up the number one spot in your life. We are generally, as a people, looking for ways to properly prioritize our lives. We are surrounded by how-to books, videos, YouTube, Google, programs, seminars, and classes. We watch Oprah to get help. We watch other shows to get help. And on the opposite side of that spectrum, when we want to feel better about ourselves, we like to watch Jerry Springer, Judge Judy, Intervention, Pregnant in 16, Lauren Lake's Paternity Court, The Kardashians, Divorce Court, The Murray Show, Love and Hip Hop. Truly, we're a messed up people. Then we live in this disordered world. The world that you and I live in has many forms of government which rule over nations and lands. Some of the most common are dictators, those ruled by a monarchy, communism, democracy, fascism, republics, anarchy, czars, parliament, constitutional monarchies, military juntas, commonwealths, Islamic republics, emirates, Marxist societies, and the socialist. All these forms of government have pluses and they all have definite minuses, but ultimately they will all fail. Why? Because they're all disordered. And on a personal level, we are tempted to believe the lie that if I have more information, that if I have more rules, less rules, if I exercise more and eat less, if I treat myself better, find the right person, figure out how to change the wrong person, send enough good thoughts, read enough memes, if I can just control my circumstances, relationships, environment, I will be okay. If I have enough power, prestige, or money, I will not be insecure. But the truth is that none of these make the content of your being or my being whole, because they are not properly ordered. In our world, our little world of the United States, we tend to believe if we just have the right person as president, we just have the right government, we just removed those from the wrong government, we could just return to a prior way of living and get the right laws that will end injustice. And if all the governments of the world would just be right and fair, if we could all just get along, the world would be a beautiful place. But this is the truth. All governments someday will collide and will be brought under the rulership of one king. And the world will have one kingdom government. For life, real life, comes from God. And life doesn't come from people, places, and things. Only God can order a life, because he is life and created life, so he knows how to do it. So if you want your life properly ordered, first things must be first. And the first things are these. There is a God, and he is knowable. Not a God out in the universe. Not a God of your own understanding. It's not a God who is some spirit, ethereal thing. It's a God who is a being and is knowable and wants you to be in relationship with him. How do we know he wants us to be in relationship with him? Because God came in human form to be amongst us, to show us what God is like. You know, God, in the form of Jesus, and during his life on earth, Jesus presented these two truths over and over and over again to the world. The first truth was this, that the kingdom of God, he says, has come upon you, has come to you. There is a kingdom, there is a government that is perfect. It is God's government, and it has come among you. And secondly, he kept making the proclamation that he was the Messiah. He was the one that was promised in the Old Testament. He is the one that was sent to be the king of this new government and to usher in this government that will be forever expanding on this planet. He made the proclamation, and then he'd let people decide if they wanted to be part of that. Jesus did this by inviting sinners to believe that they are forgiven of their rebellion against this king. See, your basic sin, my basic sin, is rebellion against Jesus. All the other stuff I do is just part of my rebellious way of living. But the initial question Jesus kept asking is, who do you say the Son of Man is? Who do you say I am? That determines everything. So if you and I want our lives in order, we have to get the first thing right, and that is God. And it started with Jesus 2,000 years ago, who came, who was promised actually to come in the flesh before that, in a body like ours. It tells us in Isaiah 9:6, as Isaiah was prophesying and he saw something in the future, he says, for us, a child is born. He says, for us, someone is going to be born as a human. To us, a son is given. He will be like us in human form. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will usher in a government. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Isn't that awesome? That the leader of this government is going to be called Wonderful Counselor? Can you name one politician today that you would say, you know what? He's a wonderful counselor. She's a wonderful counselor. There is none. But someday, the world will consider God in the flesh, Jesus, a wonderful counselor. Now, those of us who have accepted his kingship as the real deal and have welcomed him as the king of a kingdom that's being established, we begin to see that he is a wonderful counselor. That the things he does and the miracles we see are done by someone who has great governmental power. Because you know what? We're always looking for the government to fix things. His government actually does. I was talking to a guy just the other day telling me he doesn't see any miracles in the church today. He doesn't understand what's going on in the church today, that there's no miracles. And I always love it when people generalize the church. Because I feel like asking, have you been to every church there is? Because you're sounding like you have. He doesn't see miracles. I say, man, dude, make me a promise you're going to come here. Because I see them all the time. All the time, from instantaneous healings to these, just what you saw up here in the stage, these people that were totally broken, being changed by the miracle of the wonderful counselor in their life. Those are miracles. A lot of you guys are miracles. I saw a couple people already today that I don't even know if God can get to them. But I know he can do miracles, right? Isn't that weird how we can even judge people in church? Not that I ever do. Some of you right now might even, you know, for the first time you heard what I said so far because you've been judging that person, you know. You've been looking at that person in front of you going, what's up with them? Or looking at something up here. Huh? How many have wondered, oh, the piano's on the other side of the church right now. What's with those squares with the wires in? I don't quite get that. Some of you are thinking about lunch and, you know, all kinds of stuff. How many, you know, some of you thought the music was too long. Some of you thought, man, they should just do the whole music thing. Those guys are so amazing. I'm thinking, you know, there goes 5 more minutes. There goes 5 more minutes. There goes 5 more minutes. Yeah, we can do that. We can praise Jesus while you're thinking something else totally. Whoa, that guitar's a little off. I know you people. Because I'm one of you. That's the beauty. And Jesus, the King, knows us because he became one of us, but he never failed in anything. And so that makes him not separate from us. It makes him a wonderful counselor because he knows the way through everything because he's done it. He lived it. So he can help us. And Scripture tells us in Hebrews, he has great empathy towards us. He knows we are weak. We can run to him in our time of need. Not run from him in our time of need. When you're most messed up, that's when you're in your time of need. That's when we run. You know, I counsel a lot of people. Nobody ever comes to counseling because life is great. Joe, I just set this appointment so we could spend an hour here so I could tell you how great my life's going. They come when they're in need. Well, what do you think the God is? What do you think Jesus is? We go to him because we're in trouble. And the government is on his shoulders. He cares about that. It says he will be known as Mighty God and Everlasting Father. How long? Everlasting. Everlasting Father. The best of us, our fathers, will pass away. If your dad was amazing, but he's always going to be with us. Your dad left. My dad died when I was a kid. In fact, my sister, who's sitting somewhere over here, can hardly remember my dad. She was so little. Can hardly remember. I was 17. She was 5. Were you 5? 5. You know, that's a long time. But he is everlasting. We will always, starting right now where you're at, you can always run in to Father. You can't see him, but you can experience him. And he's the Prince of Peace. Isn't that awesome? Yep, peace. Peace. You know what in Genesis it tells us when God is determining to bring the flood on the world? You know what his number one complaint was? The violence. He saw that they were only violent toward each other. He had to stop the violence. Then he said he'd never do that again. But he'd bring in a king who's a prince of peace. He will bring peace. He will take all the governments of the world when the Lord comes back, and he will move all those governments aside. Actually, Scripture says he'll destroy them in the sense of their violence. Because we live violent. How many of us in our own homes are violent towards each other? Far more than we're peacemaking. Far more than we're gentle. It's in us, in our disordered life. Everybody that's in recovery is in recovery from doing violent things to themselves. We're trying to recover that. And then as we try to walk with God, we try to learn to do things that are a blessing to ourselves. And that's difficult. Then you have people around you that think that, you know, don't let them get too big-headed. You know what? Get big-headed about what God's doing in your life. And be thankful for what God's doing in your life. Be willing to share that. And you know what? Share it with other people in your life. You know, Therese told me one of the greatest things. Kind of going a little sideways today, but Therese told me one of the greatest things growing up with the kids. She said, catch them doing good. Catch the kids doing good and tell them that. Instead of always catching them doing bad. If you see them doing something well, compliment them. Encourage them. Catch them doing good. Man, if we did that, well, that's what our wonderful counselor does, because that's what a wonderful counselor would do. Wonderful Counselor helps you to deal with things that are taking you down and to turn those into positives. In the while, they're encouraging you to move forward. You can. Man, when you go to church, you ought to leave feeling like, I spent a little time with God and I'm ready to take on the world. And if, you know, hopefully that can last you a couple days. For reals. I'll tell you what, if you leave church feeling like you just got kicked in the face, you didn't go to church. God is not violent with his kids. You shouldn't leave church feeling kicked in the face. You should leave church with hope and peace and a belief that there is God is with me and he's for me. Man, if we can't find that in God's house, we're in a whole world of trouble out there. And I'm off my soapbox. It says in verse 7, of the increase of his government, that government is going to increase. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. There will be no end to peace. I don't even understand what that means. Because how do you have an ongoing peace? Maybe it's this way. I have glimpses of peace in my life. There are some days when I feel like, totally cool and at peace. You can't rock me. What if that was always increasing in your life? That is crazy. I don't even know what that, not only in your life, but in his government. Man, we're always worried about war and violence and this bad thing and that bad thing and craziness here and crazy. What if all you worried about was, it's more peaceful today than yesterday? And yesterday was incredible. I'm feeling more peaceful than I ever have in the last millennium. Because it's ever increasing. That's what this king offers us. Jesus in the Gospels proclaimed himself as the king of this new government. John the Baptist said, the king has come. We are blessed. You want your life ordered, get that right. Then everything starts to change. You belong to a king and are part of a kingdom that's expanding. Why does it say of an increase? Because it says when the child is born, we read a couple minutes ago. So as soon as Jesus was born, the introduction of that kingdom actually took place. And it has been growing since then. And you and I, as members of the kingdom in this generation, we are the ones that are tasked with the responsibility of expanding it. Those ladies going out as angels on the street to those forgotten kids, they are expanding the kingdom of God in a place of great darkness. And sometimes we tend to think that God's where God is working is in the, you know, is in this confined area in the church. I'll tell you what, the presence of God is everywhere. It's in the dirtiest brothel. The presence of God is there. Why? Because where you see brokenness is where you see the presence of God. You want to see miracles? Go to where people are broken. That's where you see miracles. I told my friend the other day, I go, well tell me, the reason you don't see any miracles is the people in your church don't do nothing. They go to church. What's the big deal? Get out there. And you don't even have to go far. Like, go to your job. And just be loving. And what, you're part of that government. You be the peacemaker. That's one of the reasons the scripture says God hates slander and gossip. Why? Because slander and gossip are violent. They do violence to people. So you ought to be that person that is at your job that is the peacemaker. Talking about peace faking. Talking about peacemaking. Being that person that's a blessing. See, I know you guys are. That's why I love this church. You guys are doers. Sure, we bumble, stumble, and fumble along. We're going. We're doing something. Are we not? That's why I listened to a radio program yesterday debating whether AA was of God or not. But what's the point? They're lost. Just go there and be a blessing. You know, that's like saying, you know what? I'd like to go. Well, we do it. Some of us Christians, I ain't going to Target. They got transgender, you know, things. And I don't buy that stuff. But so you go to Costco, they do the same thing. What? Is Costco a Christian company? And what is a Christian company? You need stuff. Right? You know, I wear UGG shoes. I like them. They're comfortable. I have no idea what they believe. I don't. As far as I know, they're just people. They either are part of the kingdom or they aren't part of the kingdom. And if I expect people that aren't part of the kingdom to live as people in the kingdom, I am up for a lot of heartache. The Lord will deal with all that. Our job is to live our lives with the King, who is a wonderful counselor, a Prince of Peace, who is the mighty God, who will sit on David's throne, it tells us, reigning over his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and righteousness. He will be the only king of the only kingdom ever to be completely righteous and completely just. Is that incredible? Think of that. Can you imagine our Congress, President Obama gathering around with the cabinet going, you know what? What is righteous and just that we can do for the people? What is the righteous thing and the just thing we can do? And all the Senate and all the Congress gathering together. You know what? We don't care nothing about ourselves. We just want to do what's right and just for everybody else because we love them. It ain't never going to happen. Never. There is no government where that will happen until the kingdom of God comes. In Luke 1:31, it says this, "You will conceive," the angel speaking to Mary, "and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end." The king has arrived, and the kingdom reign has begun. It's happening. It is happening. In Mark 1:9, we're told this, "At that time Jesus," by this is John the Baptist, "at that time Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And as he was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased.'" He was the first son of many sons and daughters. That's God's design from the beginning, was to have family relationship with his creation. That's what his plan is. It's nothing in that plan has changed. Everything has been designed by that. The two central things in the Christian faith is this: the cross, where he says to us, "Your sins are forgiven, your rebellion against the king is forgiven. We give you amnesty. You are forgiven." That's what Jesus did on the cross. He forgave our rebellion against the king and against his kingdom. All the sins we do are just the stuff we do out in that rebellion. Even when we're part of his family, we still carry this flesh. How many know that? How many know that it takes 4 to 6 weeks to stop sinning forever once you come to the kingdom? Sometimes 8 if you're a little slow. You're in the special class. His kingdom will reign. You know what God considers holy? See, because we have an idea of what it means to be part of the kingdom of God. And a lot of us put this thing on ourselves that holy is, you know, that we need to look holy. I would like anybody in here and go, who's the holiest person in here? You know, we all kind of look around because we'd have to judge them by whatever we judge them, but just by looks, because a lot of us don't know each other. Who's the holiest one? Then you get the holiest person. I'm the holiest person. Well, what is it? Well, I do these rules. I read my Bible twice a day. I pray. I always go to church. I don't eat meat on Fridays. Whatever rules you want to have. Then you get them up here, and then we show their real life behind the scenes up here on the screen. This is what's really going on. That holiness would fall down. But you know what God considers holy? Because he knows that about us. See, I can't go to God and pretend like, you know, God, you know, I did a bunch of good things today. He goes, you know, what's that sin you're holding on to, Joe? What are you talking about? What sin? The one you got in hand. No, come on. Go deal with him. They got a worse one. Her, she's all, you know. What does God consider? God considers this. Going out at 2 o'clock in the morning and talking to a 14-year-old street person. That's considered holy by God. Feeding the naked or the poor. That's considered holy by God. Giving something to someone who doesn't have it because you do have it. That's considered holy God. That's holiness in God's book. Sacrificing so that someone else can be blessed. That's holy to God. It's not about how much you give. It's about how much does it cost you to give. See, I'm at a point in my life right now, and I don't have much saved or anything like that. But I'll tell you this, a tithe doesn't affect my life. My living is I can tithe, and I still have no change in my life. That's honoring God because I'm giving, but it doesn't cost me. I remember the days when I gave money, it cost me to give. And I still give way more than that to different things and all that kind of stuff. I'm just using that as an example. There are people in here whose tithe means nothing. That's fine. They can live without, it has no effect. And there are others that were given $5 and that's affecting my week. What's more honorable to God? How would God look at that? See, it isn't about the way we look at stuff. You have been brought into a kingdom, and everything you do in response to that affects this world because you're part of the new government that's going to be established. Do you know that? Scripture says we will rule with God. You are part of the government of the kingdom of God. Doesn't matter your station of life right now. If you turn from rebellion against this king and say, I want that king, because I ran from the Lord. I didn't know I was running. I was always seeking God. And that's an amazing thing. God will bring you to himself. But when I embrace that, now it's like I'm a ruler of the kingdom. So if I'm going to be righteous and just like he rules his kingdom, then I need to be righteous and just. Now. I told you guys about the time when I would steal from my beer company. After I got right with God and I quit stealing to keep a dope habit, I kept stealing to keep my family afloat. I thought this was a good way to make extra income. And God had to teach me that, and that's not righteous and just. Is that yours? Like, well, kind of. Because I can rationalize with the best of you in here. How many of us can take a sin and make it look really good, like it's really the right thing to do? And it sounds so right to us, but the reality is it isn't. And the motivation, we're told that God's kingdom is motivated by love and kindness. See, this is the beautiful thing. You're part of a kingdom. Jesus said this after a voice from heaven came up and said he was the one sent from God. Jesus in 14:6 says this, in John 14:6, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He says, listen, I came from the Father who's in the kingdom. I came to this earth to bring this earth to heaven. I am the one. If you want to get in the kingdom, you have to accept the King. See, that kind of presentation was never made in my life. From a long time, I never understood any of the kingdom stuff. I always thought I was a dirty scumbag and God didn't really want me, but he'd be kind and forgive me, but don't let it happen again. And if it happened again, I was on the edge. You know, whoa, where does that go? And I was always in the beatdown line. Whatever, you know, I knew I was going to get beat for something. Because I equated God and his kingdom to the kingdom I grew up in, this world. And when I say this world, I'm talking about my world. My sphere of world and your sphere of world. Never confuse the world out there with your world. When Jesus talked to these people, he talked to them about their world. So, he says, I'm the way. And then later, 3 years later, when he's at his last supper with his disciples, he says an amazing thing while he's praying, right before he gives his goodbye to go to the cross. He says this as he prays. He says, for I gave them, Jesus is speaking to his dad, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They accepted that I was the king and that I came from another place, which was a kingdom, and that I came to establish a kingdom. He says, they knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. John, who wrote that and recorded it as Jesus prayed, years later when he wrote 1 John, he recalls that. And he says this. He says, see what great love the Father in 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know it is that it did not know him. It says the reason the world still runs after all this stuff to put their lives in priority, to get their lives in order. He goes, the reason they continue to do that is they don't know the king of this new kingdom. They have never turned, or maybe have been informed, or wherever it was at that point in their lives, they have never turned to embrace the king as the king. And therefore, they are lost to live a disordered life, which ultimately is fatal to their existence. Because a disordered life is fatal. An organism that is not organized will die. That's what cancer and disease is all about. It's taking an organism and disordering the way it's supposed to live, ultimately causing death. So Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples, those who had embraced him as the king, he said this in Matthew 6:9. This is then how you should pray. You want to pray? Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You're different than us. You're from a different government. Your essence is God. You are different than us. So when you pray to God, pray that. And then he says this. Pray this. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, what's it like in heaven? Well, there's numerous scriptures that tell us what heaven and what his kingdom is all about. In Psalm 89:14, it tells us this. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Righteousness and justice again. Love and faithfulness go before you, or what motivates you. God so loves you that his actions toward you, he's motivated to do what's right and what's just in your life, and his faithfulness to you is what keeps him on it. That is the government of God toward the people of God. The people he governs. In Jeremiah 9:24, it says, "But let the one who boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that they know who God is and how he operates, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord." You say you know the Lord, then you would identify him as this way. He operates in kindness, righteousness, and justice. That's what the king does. That's what the kingdom is all about. That's what you get in your life when you invite the king to be your king. That's a good thing. Isaiah 9:17, "Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and holding it with what? Justice and righteousness." That is what God does. And so when you pray, Jesus said, as members of my kingdom, you come in and you talk to Father, my Father in the kingdom of heaven, let your will be done on earth in this situation I'm praying about as it is in heaven. So that means you're praying for justice, righteousness, peace, love, kindness. God, let it go. And then you don't even have to pray longer than that. God, I pray that your will be done in my daughter's life. He's got a kingdom principle. He's got a kingdom government that operates in those things. Let it be done there, here, as it's done there. That's it. That's what you belong to if you have the king. So my question, of course, as we get ready to get out of here, is do you have the king? So why don't we stand up? We're going to do a little exercise here for you guys that want to. How many have the king? How many want the king? I'm not saying, you know, how many understand that there's a government and there's a king that at some point you will bow to, and there's one of two ways you bow to him. As your king, like this, my king. That's one way of bowing, right? Here's another way of bowing, my king. Simple. I'm asking you today, you know, Jesus didn't do a whole lot of this in his presentations. In fact, he did it very rarely. You have the rich young ruler where he actually says, the guy says, "I want to follow you. What do I have to do?" And he gave him some things to follow. He said, "Be just, be right, give your money away, and you'll have riches with me." Goes, not so much. And then he had other, you know, and then there was a couple other places. But most of the time, this is what Jesus did. I am telling you who I am. I'm telling you where I came from. I'm telling you there's a kingdom that I am initiating onto the earth that will grow and grow and grow. Your choice, you want to be a part of it. That's it. That's all he would say to them in so many words. And then they had to make, so this is what I'm saying to you. How many want Jesus to be king? How many acknowledge he's king, but you kind of sit on the throne of your heart with the crown? Okay, we're going to do it. Let's close our eyes right now, and let's just do a little visualization. If Jesus is the king, just visualize in your mind's eye, he's your heart. Can you see your heart? It's the seat of the rulership of your life. That's what our heart is. That's what Scripture says the heart is. And on that throne, you've been sitting. So you're getting up right now, and you're taking your crown off, and you're asking Jesus to take the place of kingship of your life. So can you see that? So you're now ask him to step up the stairs to your heart and to sit on the throne of your heart. And then take your crown and put it on his head. And then bow before him as your king. He's your king. And you acknowledge that he is your king. So if you've done that, and that's, you see it right now, you see it in your mind's eye, you see he's the king, I want you to just go ahead and bow to him in your body. Just physically bow to the Lord. You can even kneel before him if that's what you want to do. And acknowledge that he is your king. And you are part of his kingdom. And then I just want you to pray this prayer. Lord, let your will be done in my life as you would have it done in your kingdom. And I thank you for that. Bring your kingdom government into my life. I accept you as my king because you are. And I acknowledge that. I acknowledge that I have been forgiven of my rebellion. And I am now welcomed into the kingdom of God. I want to serve your kingdom's purpose for me in my generation. I thank you for that. I don't know where to go from here. Because you and your king are having your own thing going. So I'm going to pray for you guys, and then you can leave as your king dismisses you. Father God, I just pray for everyone in this room. I pray your blessing upon them. Father, I pray that your kingdom will come in their life, just as you have it planned in the heavenlies to take place. Bless them, King Jesus. God, I pray that all of our lives will be, from the littlest things we do to the greatest things we do, will be done in the name of the kingdom of God. And I thank you, God, that you have chosen to call us children. You have given us a mission. We are princes and princesses of the King. Blood bought, Holy Spirit sealed. Empowered to serve the kingdom purpose in our generation. God, use us as a light in our generation. All those who agree, amen. All right, God bless you guys. Have a great day.